about 3 years, I guess, after Russell did that, he was playing baseball. Him and Loretta are really sports-minded people, and he loves to play baseball with the church. And so they were playing baseball and one Friday night, and he slid into third base and tore his knee all to pieces. Somehow it got hung in under him and just tore it up. Boy, they threw the ball to third base. The guy missed it, so Russell hobbled on in on the home. He made a home run. But I'm telling you, he couldn't hardly walk, and his knee hurt so bad. But it didn't swell, so he wouldn't go to the doctor. He said, "Oh, it's all right. I'll just go home, and I'll get up in the morning. It'll be okay." Well, he got up in the morning. It wasn't okay. He couldn't walk. So they finally hobbled him out to the car, and they went to the doctor. The doctor's done a bunch of x-rays and said, "Come back Monday. We'll refinish the x-rays, and we'll schedule you for surgery. Your knee is tore up." So Sunday morning, he came to church with a big old put a cast on him from here plumb to his ankle. Couldn't move that leg at all, stiff as a board. And of course, as long as he didn't move it, he didn't have no pain in it. But if he moved it, tried to bend it, some kind of painful. But he came into church that morning and then got right back out. He didn't come to Sunday school, and he didn't come back to church Sunday night. Well, Sunday he had heard that I was fixing a car for a guy, and he wanted to help me. So he called me and said, "Thurman, I understand you're doing some body work on a car you're going to give to somebody that needs a car." I said, "Yeah, somebody gave me a car. It's got a quarter panel tore up on it, and there's this other couple that needs a car and ain't got one, so I'm going to put a new quarter panel on this and paint it and fix it and give it to them." He said, "Well, I want to help you." I said, "Okay." And he said, is the unitized body?" I said, "Yeah." He said, is the frame bent?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Bring it out to the shop." And he said, "I've got a machine that'll straighten that frame." So he said, "Bring it out there tonight." And he said, "By the way, what's God been doing good in your life?" I said, "Russell, it's awesome." I began to tell him things that God's doing. I began to quote scripture and everything else. And I said, "By the way," I said, "you know, you did say you're going to help me tomorrow night, right? Monday night?" He said, "Yeah, I'll be there. Bring it out to the shop at 6:15. I said, "Okay." Now he's laying at home with a cast on his leg and can't move it. And he tells me the doctors told him they're going to schedule him the next morning for surgery, and he's telling me over the phone he's okay and he's going to be out there to help me with that car. That's got to be faith already talking, you know what? Faith is already talking. So anyway, that next afternoon, 6:15, I had the car out there. You know, I didn't know nothing wrong with him. I got out there, and when I got there, he's running around, you know, helping me tie it down, anchor it down, all that stuff. And once we get the car anchored down, get ready to pull the frame back in place, he said, "By the way, I got to tell you," he said, "last night when you called, I was laying at home with a cast on my leg." He said, "I tore my knee up Friday night at baseball." I said, "So what happened?" He said, "Last night, after I talked to you and you told me all the wonderful things God's doing in your life, since I've seen my own daughter healed," he said, "when I hung up the phone, I walked in and told Michelle, told my Loretta, my wife," he said, "I told her, honey, Jesus don't love Thurman no more than he loves me." But Thurman exercises faith, and God does things for him. So I'm going to exercise my faith. We're going to go in there. We're going to get in the bedroom. I'm going to get in that bed. I'm going to read those scriptures he quoted me tonight. And then after they did, they took that leg brace off and said, "Throw this thing away. When I get up in the morning, I'm going to be healed." She said, "Well, no, I can't throw that thing away. It costs too much money." So she said, "I took it over. I'll put it in the closet." He said, "I don't care what you do with it. I ain't never going to need it again." You hear that faith talking?
Yeah.
Russell said, "I went to bed. I woke up the next morning, never even give it a thought. I just hit the floor running." He said, "I've worked all day long. I ain't had a pain or nothing in that knee." And when we made this video of this, it was 2 years later, and he had never had a pain. And it was like 4 or 5 years after Michelle got healed of athlete's foot, and that little girl had never had a problem. Well, today that little girl is a grown woman going to a Christian college. And when she was in high school, I talked to her mother every once in a while, and I remember one time when she was about a senior, I said, "By the way," I said, "Michelle's always by herself." I said, "Does she not have any friends?" And she says, "No." I said, "Why?" She said, "Thurman, she's too holy. Nobody wants to be around her." Said, "She is one of the best star basketball players Justin has." And said she can be out there on the court and they can be playing and one of the other girls at another team will miss a shot or get run over and stop and say a foul word, and Michelle will stop on the middle of the court and say, "Hold it! We're not going to have that kind of foul words when I play basketball." I thought, you know, we need a whole bunch of kids like her in school. You know that? But that little girl saw what the devil does to sin. She saw her feet eat up. She saw her daddy heal. She has never forgotten those things. And you talk about a holy little girl. Now, what's God going to do with that girl in the future? There ain't no telling. But he'll send her to one of those Christian schools. She'll be that holy woman, and God will use that little girl mightily. Well, I just pulled that testimony out and looked at part of it this morning. I'm going to put that on DVD. I'm going to make it available to everybody. I've got several wonderful testimonies like that. I got a man that lives 3 or 4 miles from me right over here. His name's Dan Blake. I'll just tell you. I'm going to put his testimony out here. But after I prayed for Fred Simmons, Fred Simmons was a great deacon at the Baptist church. He had prostate cancer. He asked us to pray for him on Sunday night. He said, after church tonight, talk to the pastor, which had a master's degree from the seminary. He said, I want y'all to pray for me because I've been diagnosed Friday with prostate cancer, and Monday morning I got to be in the doctor's office at 7 o'clock for surgery. So we went through church that night. We got through the church and were dismissed, and the prayer of closure was said, and everybody started to leave. I was sitting up on the front row. I jumped up and I said, wait a minute. I said, Fred Simmons asked us to pray for him, and we're leaving, and we ain't nobody prayed for Fred. I said, I know y'all don't believe in healing like I do, but I said, I'm going to pray for Fred before we get away. And the pastor said, oh my gosh, Fred, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Forgive me. And so I said, Fred, come over here. He came over there. I said, I'm going to lay hands on you, just like the Word of God says. I looked up in Martin Knox. I said, he's a pastor. I said, you won't lay hands on him with me? He said, yes, I will, Thurman, I will. I ain't got time to tell you what happened to his little daughter when he first come there, and she is sick, and I prayed for her, and the girl was healed instantly. That's why he knew I wasn't some kind of kook. God healed his little daughter instantly. Anyway, he come down, laid hands on Fred. We prayed. I rebuked those spirits of hell, commanded them to leave and never come back in the name of Jesus, and asked the Holy Spirit to restore you. I said, it's done, Fred, I guarantee it. I said, now anybody else can pray. I remember someone, oh God, when Fred goes to the doctor more, please guide the doctor's hands. Have you ever heard that prayer? We hear that too much. We don't believe this book. So anyway, next morning Fred goes to the doctor. Doctor does a blood test on him. Ain't nothing wrong with it. He said, Fred, I don't understand this. He said, Friday, your blood was awful. He said, today is perfect. He said, what did you do over the weekend? He said, well, I was prayed for in the name of Jesus. The doctor said, well, obviously it worked. Because he said, there ain't nothing wrong with you. He said, get up, put your clothes on, and go back home. So Fred come back home. His wife walked in, and she said, what are you doing home? He said, well, wasn't nothing wrong with me. She said, it was that prayer Thurman prayed last night. That's the one that did it. So now then, if you want something told, tell it to a woman, especially an older woman. She told everybody in Justin about Fred's miracle. And they knew everybody. They'd been here for 80 years, almost. And so she told everybody. Now, most of them thought she was something wrong with her, you know. An old woman, you know, she's kind of lost it. No, she had seen a true miracle of God. Her husband was healed. Well, after her husband got healed, she went over, and when this good friend of hers, which lives right up the road up here, about 2 miles, maybe three, I doubt if it's three, the Blakes, her husband, which worked over here at the truck place in Denton, he came down with a super incurable disease. Only one in a million or 2 million or something men ever get this disease, but it's terminal. There ain't no cure for it. There ain't no medicine for it, no nothing. Yeah, that's true, Rosemary. That's right. There ain't no medicine for nothing. You know, that's absolutely right. There's only one medicine that works, and that's Jesus. So anyway, she told him about what happened when I prayed for her husband, and she said, would y'all please call Thurman and let him come over and pray for Dan? And so they're Methodists. They go to the Methodist church up here, right across the street from the Baptist church. So they finally said, well, yes, to be nice to her, we will ask him to come, providing our pastor from our church can be there. So she called me and said, is that okay? I said, sure, the more the merrier. Bring the whole church if you want to. I don't care who you bring. And so the pastor was there. I got there that day and I met him, and of course Dan's sitting in that chair. He's going to die. You know, I mean, the doctor told him, you ain't got long to live. It's over for you. He's bound to a chair. So I sat there and began to share with him the sin problem and the power of God that we can call on after we repent of sin. And I spent all afternoon with him. I mean, 4, 5, or 6 hours. I went over there about 10 o'clock that morning. It must have been 4 that afternoon before I got ready to leave. We had no lunch or nothing. We're just talking about the Word of God. And then finally I said, okay, Dan, I said, have you heard enough to be prayed for? He says, yes. I looked over at that Methodist pastor. I said, do you disagree with anything I've said today? He looked at me and said, most of what you said today I ain't never heard of. But he said, it's in the book. And so he said, since it's in the book, I don't disagree with nothing you said. I said, okay, praise God. So I said, would you like to lay hands on him with me? He said, I've never done this before. I said, well, did it say we could lay hands on the sick? He said, that's what it said. I said, okay. So I said, I invite you to lay hands on Dan with me. And we went over and we laid hands on him. I said, I'm going to pray. And so he said, well, I'm just going to lay my hands on him. I'm going to let you pray. Okay. So I prayed. I rebuked the spirit, broke the curse and everything, and prayed the prayer of faith for him. And the next morning, Dan Blake was riding his tractor mowing the yard. And that man's been totally healed. And he's still alive and well today. Amen. So anyway, I have all these testimonies on video. I'm going to put them all out on DVD, although they're 20 years old. These people are still alive and well. You know, in my life, I couldn't even begin to tell you the individual homes I've been to pray for the sick people. I couldn't even begin to tell you whose houses I've been to. I've been to homes all over the country and prayed for the sick. In fact, when Cheryl, you know, whenever God told me and her to get married, you know, she's telling everybody out there at Christie's restaurant, I'm going to marry Thurman Scribner. Do you know him? And some of the people she's known for years said, do I know him? Yes. He came 10 years ago to our house when my wife had terminal cancer and prayed for her, and she got healed. Or, yes, my sister-in-law was down with terminal cancer. He was a deacon at the Baptist church. He came out there and prayed for her. She got healed. That's the kind of thing she began to hear. I did that for people all over the place.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, God Expects Your Undivided Attention, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and post-paid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.